Beyond what Joey already said, we get a little echo here, just a little bit of echo. Laura's Wish Box, the toy box that's upstairs in the mall. Are you familiar with that? Some of you are. She was on Stories of Amazing Grace about 4 years ago. She was a 9-year-old at the time, or when she went into the hospital, had a serious case of cancer. Cancer is serious regardless. And she noticed that many of the children did not have toys to play with. They were somewhat depressed. So she started Laura's Wish, where she collects toys for those in children's hospitals, especially Centennial and Vanderbilt. And they had to be new, unwrapped toys. Her father came out this past week, and we emptied the box. It was full. It had been emptied since last spring or so. So it's been 6 months or so. Took that long to fill it up this time. We'd like to fill it up again before Christmas and have it overflowing on the floor would be nice. Even twice would be nice. So if you could do that, that would be appreciated. She's now 13 years old, but she says the kids really appreciate the toys, and they have to be new and unwrapped. No, I don't think so. Go to their website, laraswish.org. You can either bring the toy here or you can order a toy there. They have some suggested toys from Amazon, so you can do it that way as well. Let's see, what else was I going to say about that? I forgot. Forget that. Stories of Amazing Grace. You ever heard of that? It's on the first Wednesday of the month. Our attendance has been down because of COVID this past year or two. I'd like to get more people come to the live audience. We have 200 or 300 or 400 watching online. And sometimes it's been up to 1,000, but that's rare. But we'll at least get 200 or 300 watching online. So I'd like to have you come if you could. It's also on Creative Motion Network on Roku. And for the last 14 weeks, we have been in the top 10, 12 of those weeks. So we're doing pretty good there. That's not like ABC or CBS or anything. It is a small little network of religious programming submitted by independent producers and churches and whatnot. But we're glad that some other people are watching it outside of the Nashville area. Earl Young will be the guest in December 1st. He is a 1960 Olympic gold medalist. He won the 4x400 relay, was on the relay team. And he will talk about his experience with blood cancer. He's alive today due to a stranger in Germany. January 5th, Les Ferguson from Mississippi will be here. He has a story about a murder in his family. His handicapped son and wife were murdered by the caretaker. And the church was evidently not too supportive of what took place. So he has some stories about that. February 2nd, Dean Dow will be here. He'll share his struggles he's had with his handicap. But today, Noah's Ark. The Ark of Noah, facts and speculations. Almost everything I'm going to share today may be wrong. That's some way to start a lesson as a teacher. We can only deduct so much on this side of eternity about Noah's Ark. And most of my information comes from the Ark Encounter in Kentucky, which may or may not be right. The answer is in Genesis Group in Williamstown. Have you been there before to the Ark? Do you like it? Okay. Did you think that maybe that's the way it was back in the biblical times or not? Not sure, yeah. Do you think the ark looked like it?
I think so. I think the evidence is pretty compelling.
Okay. Well, some reasons I chose this subject. It's a problem area for many people, like Jonah and a big fish, Christ being born of a virgin, the universe being created or happening by chance. And it's a roadblock to a fella that I work out with at the gym down here at Planet Fitness. He's a very science-oriented type guy. And, of course, Russ and the elders encourages us to bring people to Madison to worship. Well, he's not going to come to worship. He's got a big roadblock. And one of the main roadblocks is the Bible really the Word of God? You know, he's got to deal with that first before we bring him into the building. Other questions, where did the Bible come from, he asks. Who wrote the Bible? It's tough to answer some of these questions. Are the Bible stories really true? So I struggle with how to talk to him and how to sow the seed so he can come and have a knowledge of Jesus Christ. So my purpose is not to explain away God's part, but to come to a better understanding of his wisdom in the matter. If you watch the History Channel, sometimes they try to explain away the miraculous. I saw one story about the dividing of the Red Sea, and they said, well, an earthquake happened, and the water sucked into this hole in the ground, and the sea dried up. Well, if that's the way it was, then God did it. They don't go on and say that. The birth of Jesus and the star that was over Bethlehem, they say, well, it's a supernova. It was a comet. Maybe it was, but if so, I think God did that, but they don't go on to say that. The pictures of the ark make it tough for us to believe. This is what we have grown up with, is this type of picture. It makes it rather difficult for us to believe that God could have got all those animals in a boat that size. If you do a search of Google and ask, is it possible for Noah to build the ark, one of the answers you will get is this. No scientific evidence has been found that Noah's Ark existed as it is described in the Bible. There is also no evidence of a global flood, and most scientists agree that such a ship and natural disaster would be both impossible. So I did my own little survey to see what people thought about the Ark. I went into a store and asked a sales lady and asked some questions. What do you think about the Ark? Her answer was, I suppose it did exist. Do you believe in the flood? Well, we had one here in this city one time. It's probably possible. What about Noah's Ark do you doubt the most? I don't see how he could have gotten all the animals in. The pictures of the Ark indicate it was very small. I asked her, how long do you think the Ark was? And she said, from here to the door, which is about 20 feet. I went to a barber shop. Didn't need a haircut, but I did have some questions. Do you believe in the Ark? And the answer was, well, I hadn't thought about it much. The flood may have been possible. I believe in the flood, but the pictures of the ark are kind of small. Do you believe all the animals could fit in? The answer was, that does seem rather fantastic. I have some doubts about that. The way kids are brought up today, it makes them hard to believe. So people seem to believe in a flood of some kind, but not necessarily the ark. Or if they believe in the ark, they wonder about all the animals. But even if the ark is found, many people will not be convinced that there was such a thing. You remember the name Ron Wyatt? I think he was a nurse.
Nurse.
Just like you, right? How do you pronounce that?
Anesthesist.
Very good.
Anesthesist.
And he was a amateur archaeologist. He says he found the ark in Turkey. May have. I don't know. Did a story on him. He also says he found the Ark of the Covenant under the cross. He says that's where it's at. He hadn't dug it up at the time. He's dead now. But anyhow, even if people have found the Ark, there's enough skeptics where they would not believe, even if we produced it, I think, in front of them. Luke 16:31, the story of the rich man and Lazarus, he said to them, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced even if someone rises from the dead. So even if the ark were presented right here, I'm not sure that many people would believe it. Some scriptures for you, Genesis 6:14-16. What does the Bible say about the ark? And this is from the New King James Version. I'm reading this from this version because it uses the term cubic. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch. And this is how you shall make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, its width 50 cubits, and its height 30 cubits. You shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubic from above, and set the door of the ark in its side. You shall make it with lower, second, and third decks. So what did the ark look like? This is what they think the ark looked like in Kentucky. And maybe it did. I don't know. Long vessel, one door on the side, and there's a ramp going up to that door. In Amsterdam, they think the ark looked like this. Maybe it did, don't know. It was probably not rectangle in nature. I used to think it was because you just had these length, width, height dimensions, but it was to be a seaworthy vessel. In Genesis 7:18, it says, the waters rose and increased greatly on the earth. That indicates the waves were not very calm. The ark moved on the surface of the waters. Genesis 8:1 says a wind passed over the earth. If it was a rectangular type vessel, it would have capsized. And it had a protrusion, according to the other picture here. Let me go back. This one there? Nope, wrong one.
That one.
That one. That maybe capture the wind so it would go in a straight direction instead of being capsized by the wind hitting the broadside and turning it over. Whether that was the case or not, don't know for sure.
I heard they hung rocks from the bottom of it.
I hadn't heard that.
As ballast.
Okay.
In YouTube, there's a channel called the History of Genesis, or yeah, something like that. They talk about the sedimentary rocks. You're going to get into all this, I'm sure. So.
Well, that's a new one. That's good.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
I hadn't heard that. How big was the Ark compared to other ships, especially wood ships? It was a large vessel. It was two-thirds the size of the Titanic, not quite as big as the Queen Mary, as we see, but still a large vessel. And the size of the Ark depends on the length of the cubic. There's a standard cubic, which is from the elbow to the tip of the finger, and that can vary with how tall or how short a man is. There's a Hebrew cubic, which is 17.5 inches. There's an Egyptian long cubic, which is 20.6. And there's a Hebrew long, and there's many others, but there's a Hebrew long, which is what the people in Kentucky use, is 20.4 inches. And a cubic looks like that. I don't know if they had one with a hand on it like that that they could be measuring with, but that's a 20.4-inch cubic. And large-scale projects in the time, biblical times, used this measurement of 20.4 inches. So the Ark was a large vessel. Here's a side view. It was 300 cubics long, right, 300 cubics long, 50 cubics wide, 30 cubics high. The Kentucky Ark, that would have been 510 feet long, 85 feet wide, 51 feet high. The Ark in Amsterdam is a little bit smaller. It's 450 feet long. And the one in Kentucky is 510, so they used a different cubic. The Batman building downtown to the top of the spire is 617 feet. From the base of the building to the building itself top, it's 452 feet. So the Ark would be taller than the Batman building downtown to the building itself if you stood it up on end. So quite a large vessel. It had three decks, over 130,000 square feet of floor space. You could put 20 college basketball courts in the Ark. Its volume was 1.5 million cubic feet. You could put 600 railroad stock cars in the Ark. It was constructed out of, they said, gopher wood. We don't know exactly what gopher wood is or was. It does not exist today, but they say some characteristics of it. It was impregnated with resin, good in seawater, and resist worms. Ron Wyatt seems to think, or used to think, that gopher wood was a laminated type wood. Whether that's true or not, I don't know. Something like plywood. But anyhow, that's his view of it. So some question how a wood boat could hold together, and the answer may be a thing called planking. Here's a 2-minute video concerning planking.
What about the construction of the Ark itself? How could such a large wooden boat hold together, especially in rough seas? A recent documentary produced by the BBC scoffs at the idea of a wooden vessel 300 cubits long.
According to Tom Vosler, an expert on ancient boats, not even 19th century engineers could have built an ark that big out of wood alone. Even 19th century boats had steel frames inside wooden frames.
The problem with a 450-foot boat made of wood is that the wood, as a material, cannot maintain the shape of the boat. And the boat would start to distort at sea, the seams would open up, and it would sink.
An ingenious construction method seen in ancient shipbuilding that used edge-jointed planking puts the BBC's faulty claims to rest.
In its exhibit of the Ark under construction, we're treating the planking as exactly the same way as the Greeks did the planks. When Greeks built their ships, the large ships, they used to use multiple layers of planking. And they had this special trick where they had joints in between each plank. And you can see the joint here, they're a tenon, and they fit into a mortise in the adjacent plank. And that locks the two planks together. There's no way they can move. There's no way that it can break a seal and let the water in. It's a very very advanced technique. In fact, it wasn't even seen at all in any of the ships built in the last few centuries in Europe and America. We believe this method would allow the ship, the Noah's Ark, to be built without any problems at all with movement of the planks and leaking, which did plague some very large wooden ships.
So that's a possibility. Don't know for sure, but that's a possibility, how it may have been built. Some more ark facts. It was covered inside and outside with pitch, and today pitch is a black glue-like substance that's made from heating coal. Then it was tree gum, amber-colored resin, and its usage was to, of course, prevent leaks. It was a wood preservative and an insect repellent. And of course, the ark had one door, Genesis 7:16, the Lord shut him in. The depiction here is from Genesis 6:16, you shall make a window for the ark, and you shall finish it to a cubic above. You can see the man standing here, and this cubic above right here went all the way around the ark, supposedly, to let light in and for ventilation. In Genesis 6:16, the root Hebrew word for window is to glisten, and it's spelled T-S-O-H-A-R. I don't know how you pronounce that. In Genesis 6:8, window is another word used in the description of the ark, but it's talking about the window that Noah opened that let the raven out. So this is a different type of window. So you got a window in Genesis 6:16, which is to a cubic above. Then you have the other window that Noah sent the raven out. Perhaps a translucent covering provided light. Don't know if that's for sure or not, but when they talk about the window glistening, that's some speculation about that. This is a picture of the ark in Kentucky. You can see the center of it is open, and it goes all the way to the top where there is a translucent covering. This may have been how they got light into the ark, but again, speculation. Of course, they had oil lamps during that time, and that was very common in the ancient world. As far as ventilation go, it must have stunk, as you can imagine. One possibility to deal with ventilation is called a moon pool. I never heard of that before, but you got a hole in the bottom of the ark. You'd think it would sink when they put a hole in there, but you got a hole in the bottom of the ark, and you got a walled type cylinder that goes up to the top of the ark, and as the ark moved on the waters, the water would come through this hole and push air upward, and as the went across the waves, this water would come back down and suck air in through this cubic above and provide ventilation, called a moon pool. Whether that's true or not, don't know, but that's a possibility. It was kind of a piston action that pumped fresh air into the ark. And also it would have been a place where they could dump animal waste without going outside, put it in this moon pool. And speaking of waste, this is another speculation. This is called a waste auger. And supposedly the ark had slanted floors, maybe slanted cages for the animals, so the waste would drop and flow into gutters to a collection point, perhaps at the bowels of the ark. And they would have this auger that could be hand cranked to lift up the waste and bring it up above and dump it perhaps in this moon pool. Again, speculation, but possibility. Animals could be harnessed to turn this crank, or humans could do this as well. Here's some animal cages that were in the ark in Kentucky. Again, whether they look like this or not, we don't know, but Sounds plausible. These are small cages. What about the animals? They were land dependent and they were air breathing, and Noah's to take two of each kind, and kind is defined as two things that can breed together. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures. This is from Genesis 19 through 20. Bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves the ground will come to you and be kept alive. And Genesis 7:15, pairs of all creatures that have the breath of life in them came to Noah and entered the ark. The exception is in Genesis 7:2 through 3, some animals were taken aboard for sacrifice after the flood. There were no crossbreeds, supposedly, no varieties, but two of each kind. Two things that can breed together are called a kind. So you would not have a wolf, a coyote, and a jackal. You'd have two dogs, just two dogs, two horses. You wouldn't have any fish. They were taken care of. No sea creatures. You wouldn't have any insects unless they came on board on the back of a cow or maybe floating on some driftwood. And the animals came to Noah. He didn't have to round them up. Genesis 6:20 says, they will come to you to be kept alive. So that was God's part. His part was to build the ark. How many animals? Don't know. The ark encounter estimates there were 6,700 animals in the ark. They say there's room for 16,000 animals in the ark if they were put in small enclosures. And you got to remember the ark was not a zoo, it was a rescue vehicle. So it wasn't elaborate, large accommodations. How big were the animals? They were likely juveniles or smaller. The estimated size is between the size of a sheep and the size of a camel. Dinosaurs were likely small dinosaurs, and they say there were 55 kinds of dinosaurs at the time. Now, Con Hamlet says dinosaurs are gone before the flood, and he may be right. The AIG Answers in Genesis people say they were taken on board and died after the flood. I don't know, but that's their speculation. The advantages of having baby or juvenile animals, they take up less space, they eat less, they create less waste, they are easier to manage, they are more durable, and they have time to reproduce after the flood. So, food storage, this is a depiction of how food may have been stored in the ark with some jars and bags and that on shelves and whatnot. What did they eat on the ark? Genesis 6:21 says, you are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Well, the food that they ate, they were vegetarians. Genesis 1:29 through 30, then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and to all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food. And it was so. So apparently they ate fruits and vegetables and grain. After the fall of Adam and Eve, they possibly, don't know, they ate meat perhaps. If they did, looks like they would be sinning. And if they took meat on board or had dried meat or they bred, maybe they had a breeding of mice and rabbits to feed them, I don't know. But it looks like it was fruits and vegetables and grain and not meat. As far as water goes, possibly they had an auto-feeding drinking trough similar to what you have for your dog or if you got chickens. There's you've seen chicken feeders where they put chicken meal in this cylinder and it comes out at the bottom and the chickens can eat their food all day long. And, or like a dog feeder where you put the water bottle in on top and it goes down as the dog drinks the water. Perhaps they had rainwater tanks on the roof. Maybe they had stored jars of water. Perhaps the water was transported throughout the ark by wood, leather, or bamboo pipes. Speculation again. They estimate that if 20% of the ark were filled with food and water, you would still have 80% space left for the animals and for human living. So some questions and possible answers about Noah's ark. How could Noah have built the ark all by himself? Well, the Bible doesn't say he built it all by himself. But there's no indication that a miracle occurred either. His job was to build the ark. Noah, his wife, three sons, their wives could have been involved. He had relatives. Father Lamech died 5 years before the flood. He lived 777 years. Grandfather Methuselah died the year of the flood. He lived 969 years. And there were hired hands, supposedly, farmers, carpenters, craftsmen who could have worked on the ark. People during the pre-flood era were skilled. Genesis 4 talks about people working in bronze and iron and made musical instruments. So they were talented people. So I think Noah could have used these people. Was the flood local or global? Genesis 7, 19 through 20. And the waters prevailed exceedingly on the earth, and all the high hills under the whole heaven were covered. The waters prevailed 15 cubits upward, and the mountains were covered. Where did the water come from? Genesis 7, 11 through 12. In the 600th year of Noah's life, on the 17th day of the second month, on that day all the springs of the great deep burst forth, and the floodgates of the heavens were opened, and rain fell on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. So the water came from below. The water came from floodgates of heaven, and the word floodgates is used twice in Genesis, twice in 2 Kings, and once in Malachi. And of course, it rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Evidently, this was no ordinary rainfall. It implies some supernatural going on, perhaps similar to Creation Week, where it talks about a vault separated an expanse of water. And there was a lot of water during the creation process. How high was the water? The Bible says it rose above the mountains. This points to a global flood. They have found fossils of sea creatures found in the Himalayas, so that points to a global flood. And if the flood was local, Noah and the others could have left the ark and walked to the other side of the mountain. Why stay in the ark a year if it was a local flood? So I think it was global in nature. Genesis 9, 8 through 17, God's rainbow promise, God put a rainbow in the sky as a promise not to destroy all living creatures on earth by the flood. If this promise was not made to all the creatures on earth, then God has broken his promise, because we've had local floods that have killed thousands over the years. So I believe it was a worldwide flood. Jesus reinforces, I believe, the fact that it was a global flood. In Matthew 24, 37, as in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. I think this points to a global flood. So, what now? I don't believe our salvation depends on whether we know how Noah got fresh air into the ark, whether the earth is 1,000 years old or billions of years old, whether the flood was global or whether it was local, whether creation took 6 24-hour days or millions of years. I lean toward a young earth, a global flood, and 6 24-hour days of creation. I believe it makes sense. If one doesn't believe a day is a day, I think it muddies the water where a day is used elsewhere in the Bible, but I respect those who have a different view. The day may be meaning thousands or millions of years. I believe that they were 24-hour days. I do believe that Noah's flood teaches us two things about the attitude of God toward us. He is angry with sin and will punish it one day again. He loves us and sent Jesus as our ark of salvation today. So my personal study has increased my faith in God, but at the same time has raised even more questions about Noah's ark. And maybe it has you too. Thank you for allowing me to share that. And I want to end with a kind of a summation. I want to play a radio interview I did with one of the scientists at the Ark Encounter. It's about 6 minutes long. Now this is radio. You're just going to see a picture. Use your mind, the theater of the mind, as you listen to it.
And Ken Hammond,
you'll be, huh?
Ken Hammond,
yeah, and you'll, no, it's okay. It's another fellow.
All right.
I'm trying to think of his name. you'll hear it though. Here we go.
I'm Larry Souder, and welcome to Souder and Friends.
Huh? Yeah, no.
Nearly 600 miles from the Atlantic Ocean in America, in William. Jamestown, Kentucky, is a replica of Noah's Ark. Visitors from all over the world are amazed as they approach and then enter this gigantic three-story wooden structure. Dr. Nathaniel Jensen is a research biologist associated with the Ark Encounter.
You have an exhibit here called the Ark Encounter. Tell me about this. This is a big boat you got here.
Yes, and I think there's going to be two features of it that shock you the most. We built it according to biblical proportions,
which are
110 feet long, so I think it's about a football field and a half, or in more familiar global sports terms, about a soccer field and a third in length. So 155 meters long, 26 meters high, and 15 and a half meters wide.
What's your impression so far? What you see?
Amazingly awesome.
It just makes you think back to when Noah was building this, what he really put into it for all those years.
The ark is huge with lots of room for the hippo mice to the bathroom. Every size smaller than a sheep, some would run and some would creep.
We've had engineers go over this design in exquisite detail and test it, seaworthiness, balance, comfort versus stability versus whatever else you need to deal with when designing a ship like this for its purpose not being winning in speed races, but surviving on the open ocean for a year or less. And it passes all of these parameters of flying color, so it's an excellent design.
Several thousand animal kinds are loaded on the ark, and if it just fine. Several thousand kinds of animals there. When they were loaded, there was room to spare. Sure was noisy on the ark at times. Several thousand animal kinds.
You just started your journey here. What do you think so far?
Well, it's pretty impressive. I had no idea how all this might have been done, so it's kind of interesting to see somebody's interpretation of how this actually worked out.
It was built to a cubic above, the Bible says. What does that mean?
There was a window near the top of the ark.
Ventilation. Fresh air?
Yeah. And at the ark, we walked through all sorts of elements of its design and engineering. How do you dispose of waste? How would a handful of, you know, eight people feed and take care of all these animals for months on end? So people will say there's 2 million species in the world. How do you fit 2 million species on the ark? Well, first of all, God didn't tell Noah to bring every species on board. For one, it's a flood, and those species that live in water would not need to be brought on boat. Noah doesn't need to build a big aquarium for blue whale. That's fine. That's fine in the flood. So that alone is a good chunk of species.
Sounder, and
The end. Do you have any questions or comments? Yes.
How long were they actually on the ark?
A year.
Yeah.
Julian calendar?
What?
The Julian calendar year?
Oh, 365 days, I believe. Where's the scripture? There is a scripture for that. I don't have it here, but I think there is. I told you I'm not a Bible scholar. What else?
How many people have been to I want to go. Let's do it.
There you go. Take your class up there. Yeah, well, yeah, hour and a half or so, yeah.
One
city.
Do you do the ark in a half a day? You guys
yeah, I think you spend a whole day, I think.
All day?
Yeah, yeah. You can't get both in one day. Yeah. Mark? You had a hand up? Just waving. Appreciate it. Okay. All right. Thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Oh, yeah.
A bunch of series of things. Like, where they go out west and they look at the strata across.